The next several weeks, we're going to be going fishing with Jesus. How many of you are fishers in this church? Anglers? Yes? All right. I don't know about California yet, so if you're planning to go fishing this spring or summer, please sign me up, and I'd like to learn about the fish in California. But I do know a little thing about fishing for people as Jesus did. And after all of us have been called by Jesus, right? So we can learn something, one or two things about fishing from Jesus, I think. The one thing that I will address is this question. What is it that Jesus wants us to do when he invites us to go fishing with him? So I hope you're ready to learn one or two things about fishing from Jesus. But before we take out our tackle box or our fishing pole or start putting on the bait, we should learn some things about the lake, the Sea of Galilee that Jesus loved, shouldn't we? After all, Jesus spent most of his 3 years around that lake, the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee, for the easiest comparison, is one-third the size of Lake Tahoe, about a one-third. It's a little bit smaller than Clear Lake, which is the largest freshwater lake all within California, right? It's about that size. It wasn't a deep lake, only 141 feet deep, but the Sea of Galilee is the lowest lake on planet Earth, lowest freshwater lake. Jesus spent many a days teaching, meeting people, healing people around this lake. And I hope that we will meet him as he invites us to fish in this lake with him. In our story, Jesus was teaching by the lake. He was pushed into the lake, so he gets on Peter's boat. It seemed that Jesus had known Peter before, because in the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 4, Jesus is at Peter's home. So Peter apparently knew Jesus, so he allowed him to get in his boat, took him out from the shore, and there Jesus taught the people. I'm sure Jesus must have preached only a 15-minute sermon, just like us Methodists, right? I've always wondered what Peter was doing while Jesus was preaching. Perhaps he was mending the nets or cleaning the boat, but I'm sure, just like we would have been, he was listening carefully too to what Jesus was telling the people. After Jesus was done and given his benediction, he turns to Peter and says, "Peter, let's go further out into the deep." Now, I don't know about you, but I have a fear of the deep waters. For our 10th year anniversary, Chris and I went to Aruba, and they showed us that if you really want to see the sea, you have to snorkel. You have to be willing to step out from the shore and get into where the shipwreck was. So first day, they let us out on the shore, and I had the snorkeling thing, so I stuck my head under the water, and you could see a few things. You could see the sand and a few minnows, some of the shell. Next day, they took us out by boat into the sea and told us to jump in with your snorkeling gear. It was a beautiful day. Sky was blue, the waters were blue. So we jumped in, and I could see that there were colorful fish, and you could see all kinds of things underwater that you could never see at the shore. But then I also noticed that part of the sea looked very, very dark and deep, as if there was no bottom to it. And suddenly I found myself sinking. Later on, Christy said that she had my hand, but I froze. Fear had grabbed me. This fear of the unknown, of the dark, of the deep water. She had to drag me up to the boat and calm me down, and I've never gone snorkeling after that. We're afraid of the deep, right? It's easier to stay by the shore because the water is warm, the waves come, and you can look at the shells, and you can look out over the horizon, and You don't have to be afraid, but we're drawn to the deep, aren't we? We want to see what is down there. We want to experience the beauty that the ocean really is. This desire to go into the deep is somehow built into us, I think, because we know how shallow life can be. Some of the friendships that we have with people, it's just, hello, hi. And some of you have even told me that you've known people in this church for 20 years, but do I know their emergency number? If something were to happen to them, do I know their kids or where I should call? So someone has suggested to me recently that we ought to know the emergency numbers of our members. That's one way of deepening our friendship. So certainly we question ourselves. Are we sure about who we are, what kind of person we are? We want to be deeper, more solid. We want to grow. We want to be someone. So we are always seeking a deeper, and we are always being pushed beyond the comfort zones of our lives. So that day, Jesus called Peter to go into the deep. Of course, Peter could have been a real professional and said, Jesus, you're a carpenter. What do you know about fishing? And he said something like that, I think, but I think the Bible changed it. But Peter said, well, if you say so, Jesus, I've seen what you could do with my mother-in-law, because Jesus had healed his mother-in-law. So he takes a boat out there. But oftentimes when God calls us to go deeper, most of us are kind of reluctant to respond, right? Because after all, we hear about God calling people, and most of the times they become ministers, missionaries, or do some crazy stuff. So when God calls us, we want to kind of say, well, maybe not me. So here's a fish story. Up in the northern countries, our DS is from Wisconsin, so she would know, but I've been up to northern Michigan and other parts of northern New York. Up there, they fish during the winter too, you know, ice fishing, they call it. And I've seen some fancy buildings that they build over the hole, right? And it's packed with food and you name it. It's very comfortable in there, but they're out in the ice. Well, these two men are out there fishing one day. They didn't have those huts, but they had a hole in the ice. One young boy and an older grandpa. Well, the grandpa noticed that this young boy kept pulling out fish. He was a great fisherman. So he kept looking at him, what's he doing? So he got so curious and frustrated because nothing was catching on his line. So he went over to the boy and said, boy, what's your secret? What are you doing? You're getting all the fish in this lake. And the boy said, mm-mm. The grandpa said, tell me, don't keep it a secret. Let me know what you're doing. And the boy said, mm-mm. The old man got more frustrated and kind of gave the look, and the boy finally did this. You gotta keep the worms warm. Oh. All right, now you can all feel the worms, right? So many of us feel that's what happens to us if we respond to God. He's gonna really give it to us. Going deeper with God. What is it that God wants to give us? I know that during this Lent season, we formed our trios, prayer trios. I guess God was asking us to take maybe 2 feet more deeper into the water, get closer. Some of us felt like that's like 10 feet deep water, we're gonna sink. But many of you took that challenge and risked getting to know 2 more people. And I've had a chance to visit with some prayer trios, and it's been wonderful, you said. You got to meet 2 new people, or members you knew, but you got to know them deeply. You learned to pray together. Not only that, you shared your thoughts about what God was telling us. You took the risk. You were willing to go deeper into the water. and God has blessed you beyond your imagination. Jesus was simply asking Peter to go into the deep because he wanted to give him the largest haul of fish that the Sea of Galilee had ever seen. Peter was a fisherman, but now Jesus was telling him, I want you to help me catch, keep on fishing, but now fish for people, catch people with me so that they too can receive all the blessings that God has in store for you. Jesus, I'm sure, was very hard to understand for Peter. What's he asking me to do? He's asking me to fish, but then fish for people. Slowly, the disciples learned what that meant. So to catch fish, what are we trying to do? To catch people. Are we catching people so we can shame them or put them in their right place, to correct them, to whip them into place, to change them? Jesus had none of that in his mind. He only wanted to do what Peter and James and John were doing, to bring up the fish so that they will be into that boat, deeper into God's love, to experience all that God has in store for them. I've wondered what it would mean for our church to go deeper into the deep waters. One thing I've noticed is the wonderful ministry of feeding the poor, feeding the hungry in our church. And after I got here, I've been involved with the Stop Hunger program, where you packed over 11,000 bags of food for people. They will keep them alive for a day. I know that now there is a sign out in the church saying that to every meeting we have to bring a canned good to feed the poor. That's great. I think God is calling us into the deep. But that's like 4 feet of water, right? That's 4 feet deep. It's not uncomfortable. It's not asking us to empty our pockets. What if God is calling us deeper? I know that we also feed our children at the Rosemary School. What if God asks us not only to be responsible for that afternoon or morning break, but that we be responsible so that all the children in Rosemary School never have to go hungry for a year? Now that would be calling us a little deeper, wouldn't it? But what if God tells us or calls us deeper to say, what about all the children in all the elementary schools in Campbell? That none of them would go hungry, but every day they would know that God loves them, that they are prepared to learn because they have enough to eat. That might mean that Jesus is taking us now into the deep water. But then as your pastor starting in July, what if God would tell me, Pastor Paul, you are responsible so that no children in all of Campbell goes hungry, and that every night they will know that God loves them and that our church cares for them. Now, if God calls me with that kind of call, I mean, I might get scared much more than I was in Aruba. I might not even be able to sleep all night until July 1. God has a way of challenging us. God may be calling our church, calling you. But maybe we feel like Peter telling Jesus, Jesus, please get away from me. I'm a sinner. I don't belong. I'm not worth it. You don't know what I've done 2 years ago. You don't know what I do when I get frustrated or how angry I get. You don't know. And Jesus says, yes, I knew that when I stepped into your boat. I knew who you were, Peter, but I still want you to go fishing with me. God has so much in store for us. The blessings of love, peace, blessings of opportunity to serve, to make a difference in the world. He only awaits for us to say, "Yes, Jesus, I'm available. I can do that." So this week, there are two things I'd like to invite us to do. I invite us to think of one person that you can invite to worship with you at church. Not next Sunday, but perhaps within a year or so, maybe. Or maybe you can invite them to our children's musical. Think of that one person. Pray for them. Pray that God's blessings be on them, that their lives may become brighter, that they may be open to your invitation. And then secondly, let's pray to God to see if God is inviting us to deeper waters, about what we must do about the hungry children in Campbell. What is God asking us? What deeper waters is God inviting us to enter, to go fishing with Jesus? Thanks be to God that God has called us and invites us to go fishing with him. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we feel like Peter so often. We're not sure that we can fish with you. We don't feel qualified, and there are so many other things on our plate. But God, we thank you that you have caught us, that we have experienced the blessings that you have in store for us. Help us so that we too can become your people to help others to go deeper in you, to receive all the blessings you have in store for them. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.